Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As it does every year, All Saints' Day, the Feast of All Saints' Day, happens at a good time. Among other things, we have an election week in our national scene and potential unrest following. The kingdoms of this world are so unstable and childish in their power playing that, thanks be to God, you stand in a different kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. We also, in the midst of a virus which has finally reached its way into our community, a virus very dangerous to a few but feared by many. In the midst of this, the church remembers the faithful ones who have gone before us. This list this year for our congregation is longer than I can remember in previous years. And yes, indeed, death comes. Our Lord was faithful to quite a few of our brothers and our sisters in the faith to bring them home this past year. That sin had done its worst in this fallen creation, as there were cancers and strokes and pneumonia, and yes, even COVID helped usher these beloved ones of their Savior to heaven. We need not become fatalistic about life on this earth, but we must also realize that this earthly life is not the end. Nor is it the high point of life, true life. No, that comes actually after death, thanks to Jesus' work for us and for our salvation, that yes, thanks to his incarnation, his birth, his life, his suffering, his death, and yes, foreshadowed for each of us in his resurrection and his ascension back to the Father, and then his work to make that all personal for you, his work for you in delivering this and all that he earned for you in your baptism, through his word, in the sacrament of the altar, in holy absolution, that the very things that are more pressing than anything else on this planet, our Lord Jesus has served to you, because these are heavenly things geared around bestowing an eternal life, even in the midst of earthly death. That God is faithful to his word, and he promised this work for your salvation. That he has done it, and yes, he still delivers it. That these dearly departed would all give testimony to that very fact this day if they could. But being already before the throne and the Lamb in heaven, rejoicing with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we will have to accept their testimony even in this life as death approached for them. Their testimony to the goodness of our God, the salvation of our Christ, and the hope that they held in all hours, even their last hours, of the life to come, one which they now know. Our Lord Jesus Christ speaks these blessings today to us this morning about our present life as present citizens in the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking in Matthew chapter 5 to Christians that if you want a life of sin, a life that is free from Christ and his teachings and so forth, with no need for forgiveness, no need for good works, selfless works, then there is, of course, a different word which Jesus speaks to you, a word of warning to repent and believe the gospel. But these blessings are for his believers, for those who've been called the children of God, and so they are. That these are states of blessedness from God, from Jesus, Six of them are current states with a future promise. Two of them are current states with present promises. And one is a state that comes with a command of Jesus to rejoice and be glad, as well as to receive a promised reward later in heaven. These are current and present states of blessedness. These are virtues that Jesus would hold up for us as examples, with blessedness then attached to them and other promises as well. They are not like the blesseds that the world might give. No, the virtues of this world are rarely, if ever, in line with God's virtues. The world has a different set, and its set is temporary and do not produce much good at all. But as you are Christians, these ones, the ones Jesus speaks to you today through his word, these are the ones to which you would do well to pay attention to as a light in a dark place. Being poor in spirit, that is to say, lamenting our sinfulness before God, seeing ourselves as empty and void in and of ourselves, but that all of this God has done only out of his fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in us. And this is the blessing of that, that you are in the kingdom of heaven, a present reality. You're a part of that right now. That doesn't wait for you. That is right now. Blessed are those who mourn. That it's not the way it's supposed to be, as God originally created it, but it could be much worse. That you could mourn without the promise or the comfort from Christ that he gives. The comfort of sins forgiven, the comfort of life everlasting, the comfort of heaven. No, we grieve as those who have hope. Blessed are the meek. That meekness is a virtue. That is being kind and gentle to those around you, thinking more and higher of others than of yourself. That these, of course, these kind of virtues like meekness are not going to be big on the list of how to get ahead in this world. But Christ doesn't have that in mind for you. For as you would gain in this world, as your path would line up closer and closer to the world, it would inevitably get further and further from the kingdom of God. That meekness is blessedness. Think the earth will go to the strong or the proud? That's what the world teaches us. But Jesus promised here it will be inherited by those who are meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That if you eat the bread of life that Jesus offers, you will never hunger again. And if you drink the living water that comes from him, you will never thirst again. That if you have his righteousness, and this only comes by believing in him, that you have all the righteousness ever needed for possessing eternal life, you shall be satisfied with the righteousness of Christ. Blessed are the merciful, the ones who are full of mercy, just like your heavenly Father is merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, that this is what St. John tells us in this epistle today, that purity of heart comes from putting our hope in Christ, who is himself pure and thus purifies us. In fact, the beauty of almost all of these virtues that we hear of in Matthew chapter 5, all of these blessed statements, is that they have their root in Jesus. And they bear fruit in your life as his Spirit works in you. Blessed are the peacemakers. That yes, the world in some ways applauds peacemakers. But in reality, it reveres the strongest victors more. But here Christ tells us that the peacemakers are to be called the sons of God. Now here we ask the question, who is the chief peacemaker? Christ, the one who made peace by the blood of the cross between wretched, sinful, fallen humanity and his heavenly, holy Father. That he, true God, and yet Son of God, is chief amongst peacemakers, and he bids his own, the ones who believe in him, to do the same. To make peace in your life among those you live in this life. And if you think for a bit upon it, I'm sure there is someone that you can make peace with this week. The fallen world and our sinful nature is ever and totally happy to all the time to hold on to offense and to seek vengeance when instead Christ would have us seek peace and pursue it. Jesus then speaks of one more blessing, of a blessed present state. Those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. That theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That this is not talking about suffering for your own sins or for your own mistakes or for your own bad choices and behaviors. This is about suffering for being a Christian. And this one he expands and confirms with yet another blessed by speaking of this kind of persecution. He explains it. He says, when others revile you, or when they persecute you, or when they utter all kinds of evil about you falsely on his account, that this comes by thoughts, by actions, by words from others towards Christians. That as we experience these things, whether they are on the just social level of being excluded, or whether they are much more intense, these are not fun to experience in this life. And frankly, our sinful nature wants to do whatever it can to avoid this discomfort, this kind of stuff. For our flesh gets us tempted to think that the friendship of the world is so much more tangible, so much more right now than the blessedness of Christ. But Christ to this adds his command that when these things happen, rejoice and be glad. For great is your reward in heaven. The kingdom of heaven is certainly not the kingdom of this world. Christ would have you consider people's ill will towards you, their harmful actions towards you, and their lying words about you as a Christian. He would have you take those things as an occasion for rejoicing and gladness. And then he adds, for so they persecuted the prophets. The fact is that the prophets were never really all that much popular or liked by the world, including the rulers of Israel as well. They spoke things that were hard to hear, and they acted unlike the world around them. They didn't follow their peers. They didn't operate based upon the world's power, tactics, or strategies. No, they simply spoke the word of God to all who would hear, and even sometimes to those who wouldn't. They received the world's reward for such things, lives that were filled with treachery, misery, persecution, and struggles. Sometimes death. Just read the Old Testament and find out. But here is the clincher for you today. Were the prophets loved by God? Of course they were. A Christian's life is rarely easy. The beloved of God, the children of God who are so because he calls them so, they are chastised by their loving Father, that the virtues he wishes to give are painful to exercise in this world. And yet, just as the prophets were hated by the world and yet loved so much by God, the same is true of you, for so they persecuted the prophets before you. Remember that, especially as your sinful flesh will want to tempt you to give up being a Christian, even for a moment, for the sake of ease or comfort. Remember that, especially when the chastisement comes and it pains you, it grieves you, as you struggle with trusting whether or not God really does love you. The prophets of old, God loved them. Their lives were not easy and certainly not worldly successes. But they are honored by Christ. And even by this comment Christ gives at the end of our lesson, it is more glorious than any possible eulogy that the world could offer to these great ones of God. And as God loved them, so he loves you. That Christ spoke these words to encourage you, to promise things for you, that you, being his own, would live under him in his kingdom and be everlastingly blessed, just as our brothers and sisters do this day. We heard Revelation 7 today, and we ponder the look of it, or the sound of it, or the experience of it, heaven, with the crowds and the creatures and the angels and the elders and the throne and the Lamb. But our brothers and our sisters know today what it was talking about. They know what the eternal worship of the triune God in heaven is. And guess what? That text is written to give you hope for what is coming for you as well. That this is indeed coming for you, all because of the Lamb of God who is at the throne, who has taken away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God who has especially taken away your sins, all of them. That white robes await you, and they come from his forgiveness, and palm branches come from his victory. Just wait. You will see, you will hear, and you will experience it someday. And in that you are blessed indeed. And today is proof, no matter what the rest of the days of this week bring. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise.